Good morning again. All right, well, let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Jesus, as we gather on this Palm Sunday, Lord, we welcome you as King and Savior. Lord, I pray that we see you clearly today. Not only as the one who came to be praised, but as the one who came to save. Lord, help us hear your word today and respond with faith, humility, and obedience. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, Palm Sunday, how about that? There you go. So it's one of those moments in the life of Jesus that feels both loud and joyful on the surface, but it's the deeper that you look, you really start to understand what Palm Sunday is all about and how serious and truly powerful it is. It's the day, obviously, that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, right? And, you know, crowds were super stoked to have him come, right? They were, you know, laying down their cloaks and, you know, branches and all these different things just for this king to come. But it really wasn't what was happening wasn't what they thought was going to happen. It was not happening the way people thought, and that is kind of Palm Sunday in a sentence, right? The king came, but not the way people expected. Victory came, but not the kind people imagined. The crowd shouted the right words, but many of them still had the wrong idea. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 8, it says, "A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" Now just kind of picture that. Picture that scene, right? The city's crowded, right? People just throwing their clothes on the ground. There's dust flying all over the place, right? And they're doing all this, you know, to kind of give honor to this king coming in to Jerusalem. And they're shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us," right? They are super, super excited for this. They're emotional. They're caught up in the moment. And they see Jesus, and this is probably what they're thinking. This is it, right? This is the day. Right, this is the day that Rome is going down. We're going to rise up. The kingdom is coming, and it's coming fast. Right, this is what they're all thinking, not realizing exactly what was going on. But what did Jesus come into Jerusalem on? Right, on a donkey. Right, he came in on a donkey, and why? Like, if he was coming the way that these folks thought he was coming, don't you think he'd be riding in on this like huge, massive, like war horse, like something like a sign of just real pure strength? But no, instead he came in on a donkey, and that really tells us almost all we need to know. If you're trying to impress somebody, rolling up on it, or I guess you wouldn't roll up on a donkey, but you know, trotting up on a donkey probably wouldn't be the way that you would impress them, right? Like, I have a friend of mine who owns a Clydesdale, right? A Clydesdale is kind of impressive. I mean, the hooves are like the size of my head, right? They're gigantic. They're majestic. They're something that you might picture a king coming into Jerusalem on. But no, not Jesus. He came in on a donkey. It's not raw power, right? It's not like you would get a poster of a donkey and hang it in your garage and be like, "Man, that is what raw power looks like," right? No, it's not. And in Zechariah chapter 9, this was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, it wasn't accidental that Jesus was riding on a donkey. He was doing it very deliberately. Why? Because he wanted to show that not only is he king, but he's a humble king. He's a different kind of king, right? He's righteous and victorious, but humble, right? But very, very humble. He's strong, but he's gentle. Right? We all know this. Those who have a relationship with Jesus recognize that he is very strong, but he is also extraordinarily gentle. He's worthy of praise, but he's not coming into Jerusalem to just show it off like, "This is me coming in on Clydesdale or whatever. You better praise me." No, he's coming in on a donkey knowing who he is and knowing that he deserves all the praise. And that's why Palm Sunday matters so much, is because it reveals the heart of Jesus. Or it reveals his heart. You know, the crowd wanted a political revolution, and Jesus came for what? Spiritual redemption, right? He wasn't there to do any type of political statement. The crowd wanted Jesus to fix their circumstances, but Jesus came to fix their souls. I mean, how often do we kind of get caught in that, right? When we want Jesus to fix our circumstances, but instead of trying to get our circumstances fixed, he's there like, you know, really, your circumstances wouldn't be where they are if your soul was where it's supposed to be, right? So he's coming to fix our souls. So this is just as important now as it was then. And let's be honest, like I said, we're not much different than the crowd. We want Jesus to solve everything urgent in front of us, right? All the struggles, all the challenges, all the things, whether, you know, financial, it doesn't matter what it is. We want Jesus to come and just fix it, right? We want him to wave this little magic wand, as it were, and be like, "Yes, it is fixed." Right? That's not how he operates, right? I mean, yeah, it's not how he operates. Would we like it? Would it make our lives a little bit easier if we could just say, "Yeah, just fix this, Jesus," and then he would do it? Yeah, it might make it easier, but guess what? It wouldn't give us any type of reliance on him, because if every time we ask for something, he's like, "Yep, you got it, no problem." Instead of, you know, I've been, over the course of this season of my life, I've been really working on patience, you know, patience on waiting, patience on a lot of different things. And I've recognized that you can't ask for patience, right? Because God's not just going to give you patience, right? So instead, this is how I pray for patience. I said, "God, put me in circumstances or situations or with people that require me to exercise patience so I can learn more patience, so I can practice patience, so I can do all these things." But he's just not going to give it. He's just not going to snap his fingers and say, "You got it, buddy. I will give you nothing but patience." Because then I wouldn't have to rely on him anymore, right? He's a different kind of king. Different kind. Palm Sunday confronts us with a particular question. Do we want the real Jesus or the Jesus that we've customized in our brains? Right? The Jesus that I kind of just... The one that will just snap his fingers and fix everything that we have going on in our life that's you know, not working very well? Or do we want the real Jesus, the one that truly transforms our life in and through every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in? You know, because the real Jesus doesn't always meet our expectations, but he always, always, always meets our deepest need, right? Not our wants, not our expectations, but our needs he will meet. And think how quickly the crowd changed. How it was insane. They on Palm Sunday, they shouted, Hosanna, and before long, many of them were shouting, what? Crucify him. Like in just a matter of just a short period of time, going from save us to kill him. The same city that welcomed him would then reject him, right? And that same atmosphere of celebration would turn into incredible hostility, right? Why? Because people love a king they can control, right? Love somebody they can control, and they're not sure about a king that came to rule them, right? That's what Jesus is, right? He's the king to rule, right? He died on the cross for all of us. He is the ruler of, if we have Jesus in our heart, if we have a relationship with Jesus, and he is what? He is the ruler of our life, right? So we heed to him everything that he calls us to do. And sometimes that's really hard. And sometimes it's not a whole lot of fun. And sometimes it just punches us square in the face. I'm like, hey, you better figure your life out, right? People will celebrate Jesus as long as they think he's carrying their banner, right? As long as he's, you know, just rooting for us in and through everything. Now, don't get me wrong, he's rooting for us, but he's rooting for us when we're doing his will. When we're not doing his will, he's not like, oh yeah, just keep on keeping on. You'll eventually figure it out. No, he will correct us. He'll do something to correct our lives, our situations, our circumstances, our behaviors. He'll do something. And Palm Sunday is so beautiful and also unsettling, right? It's a day of praise, but it's also a warning. Reminds us that emotional excitement is not the same thing as genuine surrender, right? We can be super excited about something. Like I think we all can agree that we get pretty excited about Jesus, right? We're understanding what he's done on the cross. Like, man, that is really amazing that he died on the cross for you and for me. And then when he comes up to us and is like, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing that. Let me put something in your life that's going to require you to do some sort of course correction or behavioral modification or something like that. And then we get irritated. Like, no, man, I love you, but I want to kind of keep doing my own thing, right? No, that's not what he wants us to do. It's possible to shout Hosanna on Sunday and then resist Jesus on Monday. I mean, we probably all have been there at one point in time. It's possible to admire Jesus publicly and disobey him privately. It's possible to like the idea of Jesus without bowing to the authority of him. And that's why we need to slow down and really, really see this King Jesus. If we look at the scene again, Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem. He's not moving away from it, right? He's moving towards it on the donkey. He knows exactly what's waiting for him. And he knows what's coming. He knows betrayal's ahead. He knows the cross is ahead. And what happens? He still comes. He still comes into Jerusalem. Nobody's forcing him. He's not trapped. Right, what is he doing? He's moving towards Jerusalem. Why? Because he's being obedient to the Father. Right? He's doing what God has called him to do. It's not a victim that's stumbling into tragedy. It's a Savior walking towards a mission. Right? So grateful that he was obedient. Luke 19, verse 41 says, as he approached, he saw the city, and he wept. He wept for it. Now the crowd was rejoicing, but Jesus was weeping. Why? They were celebrating what they think he could do for them, or what they think he could do for them, right? When in fact he was coming to save, to bring peace. Look at verse 42. If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Now that's pretty heartbreaking. Jesus came to bring peace, but they were blind to the peace that he was offering. Now, how often have we been blind to the peace that Jesus offers us every single day? It happens every day. People will chase peace through what? Money, success, profession, you name it. There's a whole list of things that we will chase to try to find peace, when in fact, there's only one source of true peace, and that's Jesus. Jesus came to bring real peace. Peace with God, peace through forgiveness, peace through his blood, peace that is deeper than circumstances and stronger than fear. You know, we could have a whole series on fear and what, you know, what Jesus can bring to us when we truly put him at number one priority and let him rule our lives, how fear can just kind of melt away from us. But the peace only comes when we what? When we receive it. When we open up our body and we're like, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be in my life. I just need to completely surrender and yield to everything that you are calling me to do, everything about you I'm yielding to. You are the ruler of my life. We are not going to find that peace until we have that relationship. Now, we have all tried to find peace through different things in our life, right? Like, we've tried. And I don't know about you, but I haven't found true and lasting peace until I had a relationship with Jesus. Like, you might think you have peace, like things might be going okay in your life. Oh man, I'm truly peaceful out or whatever. No, you don't know peace until you know Jesus. He's not just a miracle worker or teacher or a religious symbol or inspirational figure. He is King. He is King, and he needs to be the King of our life. He's the King in truth and authority, everything. The King came differently. That's what this message is titled, right? The King came differently, right? You know, if you think about different kings and how they've come to different situations, whether it's battle or just going somewhere, right? Jesus came differently. If he had only come with power, we would have been crushed with our sin. But because he came in mercy, right, we can be saved. Because he came in mercy, because he came in love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. So Palm Sunday starts with palm branches, but it points to the cross. Right? It points to the cross. And the cross points to what? The empty tomb. And the empty tomb declares that this humble king is indeed king and victorious. So what do we do with Palm Sunday? First, we receive the king we need, not the king we prefer. Right, the king that we need, the one who died on the cross for you and for me, that is who we need, not who we prefer, whatever that king might be. Maybe that's a family member, maybe that's a spouse, maybe that's a job, maybe it's money, success, power, whatever it is, that's not the king that we need. We need Jesus. A lot of people want Jesus as a helper, right? Just when circumstances get a little squirrely, right? When our life becomes just a smidge more sporty than we would like, we're like, oh, now's the time to call Jesus, right? But why don't we call on him every single moment of our lives, right? Why do we only sometimes call him? I'm not suggesting that that's anybody in the room, but in general, you know, like they always say, there's no atheists in a foxhole. I can tell you, you know, when you're deployed, there's certainly a whole lot more Christians than you think, because everybody's praying when they got 122 millimeter rockets flying out of the sky trying to kill you. Right? Everybody's like, oh, Jesus, help us, save us, blah, 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 whatever. Like, man, why don't you just pray for your safety every single day? Why don't you just pray for God's protection as you continue through this deployment or whatever? But no, only when we're going through something pretty challenging and scary, right? People lay down their cloaks on the road as an act of honor, right? They just lay down as an act of honor. It's beautiful, but the question is deeper. Why do we need to lay down, or what do we need to lay down before Jesus? Is it our pride, our sin, our stubbornness, our plans, our need to control everything? You don't have to raise your hand, but there's probably some control folks in here. Right, some people that require some level of control. Some of us want to welcome Jesus into our lives, but only in the front room, right? Only where, you know, people can see the relationship, but not when we're behind closed doors, when we, you know, also need to have that relationship with him. You know, we need to have it 100% of the time. We need to follow him even when his way is not what we expected. I don't know how many of you have, you know, really followed God, and it was like, man, this feels like we're going way off path here. But you're truly following him, but it just feels like you're just veering off. Doesn't make sense. You're not expecting it, but you're being very obedient. That's when faith gets real. Right? That's when you're like, okay, well, this doesn't seem legit, right? This seems a little weird, but I'm going to continue to follow. I'm going to continue to follow. I mean, that's when faith really gets real. It's easy to praise Jesus when the crowd is loud and the road is lined with palm branches, but it's harder when he's leading you to the cross. When he's leading you to the cross, you know, there's plenty of scripture out there that says pick up your cross and follow him, or, you know, if you do not pick up your cross and follow him, then you cannot be his disciple. These are scriptures that are talking about going to the cross, bringing your cross wherever you go. That's what it's like to have Jesus as the king of your life, is to pick up your cross every single day and follow him. The way of Jesus might be humble, but it's never pointless. It's never pointless. You know, that could be a difficult concept to grasp, because sometimes perhaps you think as you're following Jesus, you're like, man, this just doesn't seem right. I don't understand this. Or, you know, you might think this is pointless. I don't, like, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Whatever the circumstance or situation is, I can assure you, just take it from me, who's been through chaos and despair for the last 8 or 9 weeks. A lot of the things that I have been dealing with seemed pointless, but I can tell you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks later, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense now. He's not wrong. He's never wrong. We just have to put all of our junk aside and be like, okay, I am just fully committed to following wherever you're leading me. Imagine a child watching a parade and they see the floats, the music, the confetti, and the noise, all the excitement. They think the parade is the whole story, but the parent knows there's more going on behind the scenes. There's planning, there's purpose, direction, and even a destination. That's what Palm Sunday's like. That's what Palm Sunday's like. The crowd saw the parade. Jesus saw the mission. The crowd saw a moment. Jesus saw the cross. The crowd saw a chance for national victory. Jesus saw the only way to eternal salvation. And maybe that's where some of us might be today. We're focused on the parade and we're not focused on the actual mission of what Jesus has done and continues to do in and through our lives and through everything that, you know, really anything and everything in this world is all about Jesus. And Jesus and his wisdom is working far deeper than anything we could think or imagine. So much deeper. So we can't lose heart. You know, Jesus might not be meeting your expectations, but that's just because your expectations are worldly. Your expectations aren't focused on Jesus. They're focused on, you know, maybe the culture or what feels good or what you want, not what Jesus wants. Palm Sunday invites us not only to worship, but it also invites us to examine our hearts. Right, what are we putting before Jesus? This kind of ties into our priorities series that we had. You know, what are we putting above Jesus? What is taking up a lot of our time? Sorry, my iPad just went crazy. What is taking up a lot of our time or our attention other than Jesus? Are we following him because he's Lord? Or because what we think he can do for us? Right, that's a question I'll leave with you. Contemplate on that. Study that this week. Are we willing to stay with him beyond the parade, beyond the palms, beyond the public excitement, all the way to the cross and beyond? These are kind of tough questions that we truly should ask ourselves every single day. Because when we say yes to that means we're saying yes to discipleship. It means we're saying yes to Jesus. Yes, mold me into the type of follower you want me to be so I can then empower and excuse me, and help other people who are following you and show them what you've shown me so they can then be disciples that make disciples that make disciples. You see where I'm going with that? Real worship says, Jesus, I trust you. Not only when you ride into Jerusalem, but when you walk toward Calvary. I trust you in everything. Not only when the crowds cheers, but when obedience costs something. And here's the good news. This king is worth trusting. He is worth trusting. He sees clearly. He loves deeply. Like, Jesus is so awesome, right? When we truly just surrender everything in our life to him and we recognize all that he has done and continues to do, and it's not always easy, it's not always super fun, but it is always worth it, and nothing when we're following Jesus is pointless. He's a king who rises in victory. And one day the king who rode into Jerusalem humbly will return in glory. And on that day, there will be no confusion about who he is, no mixed motives, nothing. Everybody will recognize who he is. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So on this Palm Sunday, let's not just wave branches, but let's bow the heart. Let's bow the heart to Jesus, not just sing songs. Let's surrender our life. Let's not just admire the king. Let's also follow him because he has come and he has come humbly. He came intentionally, lovingly, and he came to save. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for coming humbly, lovingly, and intentionally to save us. As we leave today, help us not only shout your praise with our mouth, but to surrender our hearts to follow with our lives. Jesus, teach us to trust you as our King in every moment. Keep us faithful as we walk with you toward the cross. Oh, how it can be scary. But keep us faithful as we see the victory beyond it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.